So if you have a Bible, please turn. 1 John. We're in chapter 3. And we'll be starting at verse 11. 1 John chapter 3, starting at verse 11. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Amen, says God's word. Now, just to, if you recall, our move today in Pastor John's continual, like a spiral staircase. That's how I'm picturing it. He's going on. He comes back and he comes around again and around again. He wants to assure us in our faith by certain tests, by certain optics. This is what a Christian looks like. He's speaking directly against those within the church who want to separate for various reasons. Possibly some Gnosticism going on there. Special revelation, special knowledge. And John is attacking those things, but while at the same time trying to assure the people of the church to hang in there and to recognize truth and to recognize what it is to really be a Christian. He talks about truth. He talks about righteousness. He talks about love. And in fact, today we are moving then from a moral argument to a social argument. And he did that last week. If you look at, at verse 10, we ended last week, it said, anyone who does not do his right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. So making a direct connection from those who live righteously, we talked about that 2 weeks ago, to those who love. And they're the same people who want to do that. Now, if you're ever wondering or thinking that that John is not concerned about love, that theme runs so deep and so wide in all of his gospel that he wrote, first in John and in 1 John, 2 John, he is laser focused, it seems like sometimes, on this idea of love and what love is. Not just love for God, but love for each other. In fact, I just give you a little taste here. Loving one another in John. 1 John 3:23 tells us, coming up here, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Later on in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And then in verse 11 of that same chapter, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And then later in 2 John, this tiny little letter he wrote to some woman, and he says in verse 5 of 2 John, and now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one we have heard from the beginning. You hear the echoes, right? I ask that we love one another. And in his gospel, He reminds us of the words of Jesus in chapter 13, at verse 34. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. And then John chapter 15, verse 12. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And in verse 17, again, this is my command, love each other. There's a significance in the Christian experience that when God's Spirit enters us, when our eyes are opened, when we see God for who He is and Jesus for who He is and what He did and His sacrifice for us, and as we believe that and accept that and in faith turn ourselves over to Him and His Spirit comes in us, the effect of that transformation more and more and more is to love the brothers and sisters around us in Christ. And if that is not happening, John has been saying all along on all these tests, if that isn't happening, if that isn't true of you, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Because if you're not doing these things and you say you're a Christian, it doesn't work. So today, in these verses, I want to, in the back of your minds, have three basic questions that I want us to kind of consider today. One, why is love of one another, of our brothers and sisters in the Lord, a test of true faith? Why? Why is that? Two, what does that look like then? What does it look like to love one another? And three, well, on the same lines, but why is it important? Why does it matter in our day-to-day lives? And we'll do this in three steps. Step one, we'll look at two basic attitudes that one can have. Step two, we'll see two examples, two representative examples of love in action, or lack of love in action. And three, we'll see two contrasting destinies. These are big topics. These are eternal things that we want to know and understand. So first, two basic attitudes. Have you ever noticed, you probably have, if you are carrying a couple of cups of coffee and they're full right up to the brim, right? And you try to get them to the table, and any little bump, and it's going to spill over, right? That's what happens. You know, whatever's there, especially if it's overflowing or full, it's going to spill over. And in life, for us, our unexpected knocks, the problems, the irritations of life, will show what is in you. Well, that's what will spill over. So the question we have is, what is spilling over in our lives? Because that is the indicator. That is a good indicator of the quality of your life inside, right? It's when things get annoying or irritating and just rubbing shoulders against each other with people. I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes people are annoying. Very annoying sometimes. I don't have to look any further than a mirror to see that. Oh, yeah, sometimes people are really annoying. I understand that. All right? So how do we react to other people? Now, loving one another, if we think about an attitude, is an essence of being. Okay, love is not just something we do, it's who we are, right? 1 John 4:8 tells us God is love. Not just God loves or God is loving. He is in His very being love. It is so important. We have to really understand. Of course, you know, it's so funny. People are so quick. And it's true. They say, well, yeah, but God's also, you know, has wrath and judgment and things like that. Yes, absolutely. He's a complete God, right? But the overall focus, you go from Genesis to Revelation, the attribute that comes over and over and over again, and He wants us to understand, He drills into us, even in the midst of problems or His wrath or His judgment, say, I am a compassionate God. I am a loving God. That is who I am. And all these other things spring out of my love. God's wrath springs out of His love. God's judgment springs out of His love. It's always based in love. Love is the thing. It's not just a habit. It's not just something we try to do more. It's who we are. And so when we come into a relationship with Jesus by His Spirit and to a loving God, a God who is love, then that relationship, that transformation will move us more and more towards being loving people. People who are loving, who are love. That is the goal. That is the first basic attitude. Attitude of love. And we see that in verse 16 that we just read. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His love for us. We know what love is by looking at Jesus. If you want to know how to love, you look at Christ. It's foundational. It's basic. It's the fundamental, foundational Christian attitude. That is love. Okay? So that's the first thing. That's the first basic attitude. But John then gives us, to understand it better, I think, gives it a contrast to this basic attitude of love. And he uses the example of Cain in Genesis 4. In fact, turn to Genesis 4. We'll just review that story. It's interesting that John chose Cain as the example in contrast to love. So we see that Adam's wife, they gave birth to a son, Cain, and later to gave birth to his brother, Abel. And it says there in verse 2, now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain, his offering, He did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go down to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. So that is the contrast. We see the opposite of what love is supposed to be. We see in Cain, instead of loving his brother, instead of having love towards Abel, he found hatred. Now, I think as we read that story, we understand that when Adam and Eve were raising Cain and Abel, they told them what was going on. They probably told them about Eden. They told them about their mistakes, their fall. They spoke of what it took then, the seriousness of this breach with them and God, and what it took to try to make that right. You know, the whole then, you know, sacrificial system that didn't take care of sins necessarily, but it showed the seriousness of it. So they had the knowledge. But in that knowledge, when Cain brought an offering, it was unacceptable. It didn't reflect the cost of what sin was. It did not consider the seriousness of sin. It had no aspect of submission or repentance and penitence, of being sorry for what you've done. And so then when God called him on it, again, think about that cup. And it's knocked, it's bumped. What overflew? What came out of Cain? It wasn't love. It was the opposite. His attitude was hatred, irritation, rebellion. And so instead of taking the opportunity that God gave him to make things right, in his hate of God, it spilled over and he killed his brother. At the end, it was an act of rebellion against God himself. And it's a question that we have in all these things is, when we look at our relationship with God, is it God's will or mine? Now, we've seen the Gnostics, and their thinking thought that ignorance was the problem, right? If you had the right knowledge, special knowledge, then you could get things right. And we see here that ignorance is not the problem. It's rebellion. It's shaking our fist at God. It's selfishness. It's me over and above what you would want. That's the same today. That's what we face. And so that's why in verse 13, when John says, do not be surprised if the world hates you. Because it's just like here. It's funny, but people have the opportunity. They may look at you and you're doing things right, you're loving and these things, and instead of being convicted and saying, oh, that's a great way to live, they become angry. They want to do what they want to do. And your righteousness, your love, exposes their rebellion. So it's no surprise then when there is hatred towards us. So we see at the beginning here then the two attitudes. We have, is it love or hatred? Is it caring for others or caring for oneself? Is it submitting to God or is it rebelling? And so that brings us then to John's explaining of two representative actions. What is the result of these things? We've mentioned already, but the first one is murder. Right? In verse 12, John traces, kind of outlines the track of Cain's hatred, and then the result then is murder. The action is the outcome, the attitude. His attitude was a rebellion and of hatred, and what will come from that is murder. The action is the outcome of your attitude, of your heart. Now, here and in John, I'm sure was hearing Jesus' words. Jesus looks at attitudes then, right? He looks at our heart in these sorts of things. You know, what does he say in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5? Let's just look there real quick. Matthew 5:22. And verse 43 says, you've heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise in the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus' own words tell us that our hearts are what support our motives. And he had said earlier that if you hate your brother, it's as if you are murdering them. That was the teaching he gave, right? If your eye causes sin, pluck it out. If you have anger, if you have anger at your brother, it says you are murdering him. So the action, the resultant reaction that Cain gives us, the example is of literal murder. And that carries to us that when we harbor hatred or bitterness towards our brothers and sisters in Christ, in the Lord, that we're killing them as if. Right? That it's that serious. We see here that the one who hates and the one who kills have a common motive. The same moral character. The moral root of hatred and murder is the same thing. So then, if we carry that out. If anyone holds on to a spirit of bitterness or hatred, hostility towards brother or sister, that person cannot at the same time be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. That's what John has been arguing all along. He's saying, if God's Spirit is in you, if you are His, how can you be like this? It doesn't make any sense. Now, we've talked over and over again. Of course, there's the process of sanctification, but we're speaking to the inworking transformation and seeing results, seeing things happen in us. And if we live in that, if we stay in that, if that is what's overflowing our hearts when we get bumped, something wrong there. There's a disconnect. Now, even a murderer can find forgiveness, right? In Christ, we saw even on the cross, forgiveness came to criminals. And that's not what we're talking about, but genuine faith cannot be claimed if someone is intentionally, destroying another brother or sister in the Lord. It just does not work. If we destroy them in their reputation or destroy them in their character, in their life, we degrade, make fun of, mock, snub, put down, that is not love. What is the contrasting action? Again, look to Jesus, verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. That is God's definition of love. If you want to know what love is, look at Jesus. That, you know, and it was, and for Jesus, it wasn't just sentiment, it wasn't just emotion or words. He showed us what love is. On the biggest, huge stage, said, "This is what love is. I will die for you." And that resultant action in Christ transformed everything. Changed everything. And so then the result of that, if we consider that, we see in verse 16, the second half of that verse, "And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." That is what love is. If you want to understand what love is, it is that. Now, it's not the same, of course, right? I'm not able to die for your sins, anything like that, but that sort of love, that love that causes us to repent and trust in Christ, if we want to express that same quality of love towards other people, we want to extend our forgiveness to others who have hurt us, we want to sacrifice our own time, money, resource, whatever it may be, for each other, even if it's not the best thing for me. That's what love is. It's loving, not counting the cost of the love, not deciding if it's deserved. It has no thought of a return. It has no self-interest. And it touches all aspects of our life. Love touches everything. Our relationship in our homes, our children, our family, in our work, in our communities, in our comings or goings, and buying the groceries and meetings, whatever it may be, love touches everything. Self-sacrificing, complete love. Jesus, who by nature is love, God is love, Jesus, right? Then we are to reflect that kind of love with each other. That is what we want to do. Now, it's interesting here that all this high, wonderful consideration of love, right? Self-sacrifice, it's beautiful. But John brings us back to earth rather quickly in verse 17. Look what it says. "If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him?" This is practical love. This is love that does things. Helps people, actual people in need. It's not just physical, but the results that are eternal. Now, we may never be called to actually give our life for someone, but I guarantee every day you will have opportunity to show love with your time, your money, your words. That is how we show love to each other. So we have examples, two contrasting examples of attitude. We have contrasting examples of actions out of those attitudes. What's the big deal then, right? Because in all this are two contrasting destinies, eternal destinies. These things we are speaking of are great and glorious, eternal things. Look at verse 14. "We know that we have passed from death to life." That is what we're talking about at the end of the day here. We're talking about death and life. And if on the contrasting sides, if you're on the hate, the rebellion side of things, the end of that is death. And if you're on the love side of things, you're being transformed day to day to day, and loving your brothers and your sisters in Christ, the end is life. That is a story. It's very binary. Death and life. The reality of our gratitude and moving from death to life is evidenced by how much I love my brothers and sisters. Are you on the path of life? Ask yourself, do I love my brothers and sisters? Really love them? Am I doing loving things? Not just my heart, not just, you know, yeah, I think they're great, but willing to sacrifice. Shown over time, shown by growth, more and more and more. These are important things, eternal things. Our very destiny hinges on these things. Now, this is all true. You are with me, if you're with John here, right? Considering these things. A question comes up. It comes up in my mind. It comes up when I talk to people about these sorts of things. Here's the question. Does this, John, when John talks about love for our brothers and sisters, he's being very specific here. He really is. He's taking time and care to narrow this aspect of love to the believers in his church. Right? That's who he's speaking to here. We have to love each other. If we don't love each other, what in the world is going on, right? So, in this idea then of loving our brothers and sisters, does that then enable us or give us permission to exclude others who are not of the family of God? Right? Is this call to love limited to just those who are believers in Christ? Can I then say to my atheist brothers and neighbors, or the Muslims, or the Hindu, or the pick your religion, can I then say, well, I do not have to love them in the same way? Right? That seems what it says here. Let me just go to the end here real quick and give you the answer. No! Okay? No. And if you think, again, if you think this attitude is not out there, it is. I hear it from people, from Christians. I heard a person on Christian radio say that as a Christian, he does not, again, you know, it's super political, and I don't like going there, I hate it, but he said, one, Joe Biden is not a Christian, okay, whatever, I don't know or not know that. Two, in fact, he thinks that Joe Biden is his conscience has been seared and is damned, okay, cannot be saved. So therefore, three, I do not have to love Joe Biden. No! No! That makes no sense. And we've already seen it over and over again, right? What did Jesus teach us in the Sermon on the Mount? Love your enemies. If I just love the people that love me, what good is that? What does that say? Even the worst sinners in the world do that. If I only talk to and have fellowship and greet those that I agree with, what good is that? And it makes no sense. And this is so relevant to our cultural climate today. Across the board in our lives, our politics, how we relate with each other, all these things. More and more and more, we see it. Our pictures of division. And the words we use for those others, those who I don't agree with, politically, socially, economically, whatever it may be. Do you hear the words that people use? That's not love. Love is when I completely disagree with somebody. And I desire the very best for them. I want them to know Christ. I want them to experience the riches of God. I want them to succeed and flourish in life. I want them to be taken care of. I want them to have food and shelter, even if they are completely against everything I believe in. And we know this is true, like I said, what Jesus taught us in Matthew, but look what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, Paul teaches us. He says in verse 6, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely you see anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die." Here it is. "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." If we are to love like God loves, we cannot not love our enemies and those who disagree with us. Because that's exactly what God did for us. While we were still shaking our fist at him, while we were still blaspheming him, saying things against him, sinning against him, even knowingly, even then, God said, "You know what? I love you, and I'm still going to die for you. And even if you turn me away, even if you resist me, I will still love you. And call you and want you back." That's the picture of the prodigal son story, right? It's the prodigal father. The father's the one who was doing something crazy. There's no reason for him to bring that younger son back. He did everything wrong. Even the older brother thought it was crazy. This is crazy love. This love that doesn't make any sense. But love doesn't make sense, right? We love. We love. I really believe that is what John wishes for his people to understand. And that is what's going to make the biggest difference in our communities. If you want the kingdom of God to expand, if you're desiring God's will on earth as in heaven, love. Love your enemies. Love those who hate you. Love those who attack you. Love those who disagree with you. Love those who lie about you. Love them. Love them. You love someone like that, what are you doing? You're pulling coals in their head. It doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't make sense. That's the beauty of it. That's what God did for us. So, let's see if we can think about those questions. What were they again? I ran down here. All right. Why is love of others a test of true faith? We see it, right? Why? Because that's what God did. If God did that and he's in us, then the test of faith is very much loving one another. Very much so. What does this look like? It means self-sacrificing, practical giving of ourselves. Sacrificial love. We don't want to. Today, you know, Sherry's not here. She came in. She said, "Steve, you may know our friend the Gressmans, you know, right? And their son Gideon is going off to the army today. And so he needs to be in Madison nearby noonish, 12:30, something like that. And he's flying out. He's going to start. Big deal, right? Well, Carrie Lee and Dan are both sick. And their daughter's car is dead. So Sherry comes and says, what they're going to do is they were going to take one of the cars and Gideon would drive it there and just leave it. And then sometime this next week, go and get it, right?" And Sherry says, I can go drive them. Now, my initial reaction was, "No, I want you here. I love having her right there. She's very encouraging to me." I said, "No, you know what? Yeah, go drive them. Drive them. That's a great idea." And that's a little thing, right? I mean, right? That's love. That's just some little thing that one can do. Not because they deserve it or anything. It's just, we love each other. And tell you what, folks, those little things like that, those are the things that are going to build and build and build. And when you're asked then to do something big, maybe, it will be there. then when the cup gets bumped, what overflows will be love. And that is our goal in these things. And the third question was, why is this important? And we come back again to our destiny. Our destiny in Christ is life eternal with Him, made complete and whole and being with God. And the contrasting destiny is death, eternal death, hell. I don't often focus on that. It's often a mistake just to, if you come to God just because you don't want to go to hell, it's not a very good reason. Okay. But it is a reason. And it is important. So consider your status even now. Are you there? If you're not, if you're even wondering, oh, maybe not, it's okay. God will meet you right now where you are. When those opportunities of love come, let's love. I mean, that's not just kind of love. Let's love people like they've never seen love before. And then God's will be done in our world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh God of love, a God who is love, thank you for that love. Oh great love, oh love beyond all measure. We sung today of what that love is and who you are. And we've heard today in your word of what that love is and who you are. And Lord, I pray, Lord, help us to love. And to begin it, begin that love right here with us, with ourselves, with each other. Forgive us, Lord, for our lovelessness. But we know that by your Spirit, more and more and more, we will love. I pray that would be true of us more and more, too. Help us to love, Lord, as you have loved. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go with God in love this week. Thank you.